Hello and welcome to Swiss Info's program on one of the most important routes in Europe, the Gotthard. I'm Susan Masika. The Gotthard is the primary north-south axis through Switzerland, and it's been bringing travelers over the Alps for centuries. High-speed trains have replaced mountain-climbing mules, but in the name of slow travel, two of my co-workers decided to shun the fast track. They joined me in the studio to tell me about their adventure, walking over the world's longest rail tunnel.
My name is Carlo Pisani, and I'm Italian, but I've been living in Switzerland since 2009, and I work as a video journalist at Swiss Info.
My name is Daniele Mariani. I work for the Italian redaction of Swiss Info, so my mother tongue is Italian. I grew up in this region of Gotthard, not so far away, so I know fairly well the region.
For many Swiss, the Gotthard is the stuff of legends. They see it as the cradle of Switzerland and the crossroads of Europe. When the new Gotthard-based railway tunnel opens in summer 2016, it'll take just 20 minutes to cross the Gotthard Massif via a 57-kilometer tunnel under 2,300 meters of rock. It will be the longest and deepest traffic tunnel in the world. My colleagues stayed above ground, covering a portion of the Via Gottardo hiking trail, which connects Basel to Chiasso. Both men were already familiar with the region. Daniele comes from Ticino, the Italian-speaking part of Switzerland.
I grew up in Ticino, and as many natives of Ticino, I know fairly well the Gotthard region. Gotthard is an obligatory way if you want to go to Zurich, or more in general, if you want to go to another place in Switzerland.
I also knew in a way pretty well, but from the window of a train. I'd been for 9 years in a long-distance relationship with Swiss, with my wife, and so for me the Gotthard always meant that when I crossed it, I would find bad weather, and but I would be nearer to my wife. But as I said, I knew it from the window of a train, and for me it was really surprising seeing all those places from like the other side. Things that I would see from the train window and seeing them from a different perspective.
They spent almost a week on their walk together. Daniela wrote an article, while Carlo shot photos and videos, all of which went into a long read now online at swissinfo.ch. They met several interesting people along the way, like Carl Valdis, a retired school teacher who knows all about the Gotthard rail line.
For me, the myth of the Gotthard is all about the people who did great things in this region. So we have the Walsers, who in 1140 used their know-how to make the Schullen and gorges accessible and build mule tracks across the Gotthard. Then there were all the people who built the old road over the Gotthard Pass, and Louis Favre, who dared to bore a 15-kilometer tunnel through the Gotthard and coordinated the work from each end. This, for me, is the stuff of legends.
And the working conditions were extremely difficult.
When you think of the 15-kilometer Göschenen Airolo tunnel, just imagine people going in there. It was just 2.5 meters wide and 2.5 meters high. People had to work in temperatures of over 39 degrees Celsius. These were practically tropical temperatures, tropical conditions, and they had to work really hard for hours on end. People talk about Favre, but it's the workers on the front line, the tunnel builders, who are the real heroes for me.
Valdis joined Carlo and Daniela for a section of the trip and showed them an old train depot.
That maybe was one of the most interesting interviews for me because he talked about the old rail line and the one that is going to become old after the new tunnel opens up, and how they built the old Gotthard tunnel.
They also met Damien Zink, an expert on the military fortresses hidden in the Swiss mountains. He gave them an exclusive tour, taking them into a simple stone building. But behind its facade, they went through two heavy-duty doors and into another world.
We are in the middle of a Swiss Army artillery base, deep within the Gotthard mountain range. We have 60 meters of rock above our heads, and we're close to a cannon that was used right up until 1998. The fortress was built during the Second World War as part of the Swiss National Redoubt. The redoubt strategy foresaw that the main striking force of the Swiss Army would withdraw to the central Alpine region, where they would have a huge strategic advantage, as they would be protected by the mountains. The idea was that 500 men would be able to support themselves in the 3-kilometer-long fortress for 6 months. These days, it's fascinating to move around in these tunnels. Here, you're one step closer to the myth of the Gotthard, the same Gotthard that has left an incredibly important mark on the Swiss psyche.
And the amazing thing about it was that walking through these corridors, you could really breathe history, and it was like history frozen in time.
And what did it look like? I mean, I'm imagining really heavy metal doors and...
Not really. It's like from the outside, they all looked as very inconspicuous, like huts and barn. But once you open the first door and the second door, and you realize you're in a fortress with cannons. And also from the outside, he showed us the hidden places for cannons. And that was surprising because they're part of the landscape and everything looks so nice and green and peaceful. And then you discover that there are cannons hidden behind bushes. Fortunately, they're not in use anymore.
Along the way, their travel companions came and went, but Carlo and Daniela were stuck together for several days, and the journey was often hot and tiring. So what I really wanted to know was this. What was it like to spend so much time together?
So I spent 6 days together with Carlo. It was really nice to share this experience with someone else. But sometimes I was a little bit ashamed. I had the impression to be like a Western mountaineer with his Sherpa. In my bag, I had only a microphone and a notebook. Carlo instead had 2 cameras, a tripod, plenty of material. So his bag weighed maybe 20 kilos.
You know, as I said, it's a easy hike. I just wanted to make it more difficult. Most of the time I was like trying to follow up on Daniele because we always had an appointment, so we were running after someone else. But yeah, it was totally enjoyable walking with someone else, and walking is a great way also, like, sharing, and it's it induces people to talk.
Indeed, the very act of walking and seeing things from a more intimate perspective was something that impressed Carlo.
Walking is beautiful, and taking it slowly and walking over a distance that usually you cover, like in other ways, it's revealing, and it shows you sides of the landscape and shows like the people live there, and that for me was. Probably the take-home point that I would like to walk more, basically.
And Daniela was struck by the effort that had gone into making the Gotthard easier to traverse.
For me, I think that one of the most impressive things was to see the huge work that men have done to build the different routes. When you go through by train or by car, it's not so easy to perceive what does it mean to build an highway or a railroad in this region? And it's, for me, it was simply amazing to see what men have done here.
When you're on a train or in a car, you give it for granted and you just travel. And while you're walking there, you realize how the struggle of men with nature and like from the mountain. There is always this relationship, mountain, and that I found very interesting.
And you walk through the centuries. You walk on old mule track. You pass in front of ancient chapels, church, and if you look carefully on the faces of the mountains, you can see the bunker of the Swiss Army So it's really a walk through the history, I think.
As Daniela says, it was a walk through history. And as Carlo points out, it made him think about how times have changed for travelers.
And the Gotthard is, if you want, historically was this divide. And as you have more and more passage points, like you have highways and you have a railway that get you easily through this passageway, you forget what a barrier it was. And walking through it, you still notice like the differences. It's just like in terms of kilometers, it's just a couple of kilometers, but it's really a divide between north and south and ways of thinking and food as well. Also walking, another interesting thing is that it forces you to think how human beings have been traveling for centuries before our time and they had been considering time in a different way. When you were traveling, you always like talking in terms of days. And nowadays it's hours, minutes.
Yeah, we take it for granted, don't we? Just how quickly, and especially in Switzerland, how easily you can get around.
Exactly. It's about minutes. The train is at 5:58. And there, walking, you plan in terms of days. Is that passage going to be open for that season or not? And that's a realization you only get by walking through a passage point that was so difficult and so important for these regions.
Speaking of traveling, I asked them for some tips on what to see and do in the area. Here's Carlo again.
I really liked it that we had the chance of sleeping on the Gotthard Pass itself, because during the day it's a touristic attraction. There are lots of people coming through and stopping by and taking pictures. But in the evening it becomes very quiet, and there was an experience for me. It's like to be up there and experience this transit point and be able to see from on both sides.
And seeing a military fortress is also a must.
The main one that is on the Gotthard is actually a museum, and that's it can be visited by everybody. It's open only during the like spring, summertime. And I would advise everybody to go and visit it. It's impressive.
And both men were quite taken with the Leventina Valley, especially the village of Giornico, says Daniela.
Maybe there is one village that is not so known from people who came from outside, and its name is Giornico. And it's really a small and beautiful village, plenty of history. There are many churches, many really nice churches. There is a fantastic museum of the Museum of Leventina. And there is the only island of Ticino, La Sola, with some inhabitants. People who lived on this island, there are maybe 2-3 houses.
But it's on a lake, or?
It's on the river.
On the river?
Ticino River, yeah.
Okay, and so it's an island, a true island?
Yeah, it's a true island in the river. And in Giornico, there are also many fantastic and wonderful bridges made of stone.
Okay, and is that how you get to the island where the people are?
Yeah. Oh, cool. But it's really a small, small, small island.
So whether you're an avid hiker or more of an armchair traveler, I hope this program has given you some ideas for your next trip. And be sure to visit me and my friends online at swissinfo.ch, where you can check out the full report by Carlo and Daniela, including all the pictures and videos. Thanks for listening, and thank you to studio technician Donnie Wheeler. I'm Susan Masika.